You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to The Bird Calls. I'm your host, Preston Ells. Today, we are talking with TheBirdWrite.com's editor-in-chief, the man who asks AD all the important brow questions, Mr. Ali Cosell. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Preston, how you doing? But you know what? He deflected it. So I'm pretty sure that this is all just a little scheme. And let's look forward to that Red Bull commercial or little video clip in the next day or so.
You know what? I'll take it, though. Any chance I get to see personality from these guys, I'm 100% on board.
I hear you, buddy. Yeah, I hear you. But still, it's nice to see AD, you're right, smiling and being a joking matter. Because let's face it, it's playoff time. 7 games left, and the Pelicans can finish anywhere from, like, 4th to out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's a good indicator that his ankle's probably feeling all right, because if he's cutting it up with the rest of the guys, he's probably in good spirits, and he's probably going to play and play well tonight. And to help us talk about tonight's contest with the Cavs, we have with us Fear the Swords news editor, Mr. Carter Rodriguez. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
Of course. I might be a little groggy. Just got up after working a late night last night, so if I just sort of trail off, just assume I've fallen back to sleep. I think I got it.
You crazy millennials in your late nights. I wouldn't expect anything less, Mr. Rodriguez. He is also co-host to Chase Down Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Is that right? How long you guys been doing that?
I just hit our 1-year anniversary. So I do that with Justin Rowan, who is my hilarious and insightful co-host on that sucker. And we have a great time. So please listen to the Chase Down pod.
Very cool. You can follow him at Carter_Shade. And of course, Ali, if you can spell his name, it's at Ali Cosell. Easy enough. What did your handle used to be again, Ali? I remember you just changed it.
Yeah, it was the Red Hopeful, you know, for the Cincinnati Reds. Long time ago, as a baseball avid fan.
Well, this is much easier to remember. Let's get started right now with the injury report. This is probably the most important storyline heading into this one, just because the Cavs have been so good with Kevin Love this season. They've been 9-8 without him. And in addition to that, Kyle Korver is also on the injury report with a personal designation. Carter, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Kevin Love is listed as questionable. He's been going through the concussion protocol. He missed their last game against the Hornets. And then Kyle Korver, still not with the team. Unfortunately, his brother passed away, who is only 27. So they've been kind of giving him, I think, as much time as he needs to kind of work through that. Obviously horrible tragedy, but yeah, I do not expect Kyle Korver to be back tonight. And it would seem a little surprising that Kevin Love, came back this quickly from, after being placed in concussion protocol. He missed, the Hornets game 2 days ago, got the concussion 3 days ago. Seems like a bit of a quick turnaround, but also, if he's fine, they also have to balance that with the fact that he hasn't played any basketball with anybody else on the team very much because of how crazy their roster turnover's been. So, who knows? But as of now, he's listed as questionable.
And in Kyle Korver's place, there's expected a higher workload for Rodney Hood, who started the other night against the Hornets. J.R. Smith was coming off the bench. More workload for Jordan Clarkson. And if Kevin Love can't go, those minutes will likely go to Larry Nance, Tristan Thompson, and Jeff Green. Jeff Green, who actually got a start the other night in a wild turn of events. I don't know if you saw this, Carter. I remember that whole debate that the Cavaliers were having in their locker room about Kevin Love not being very tough whenever he had some kind of flu-like symptoms 6 or several months ago. And then when he broke his hand, it looked as if he went and showed the Cavs bench that he had, in fact, broke his hand. And I was watching the highlights of the Heat versus Cavs the other night when he broke his tooth. And it looked like, once again, he came back to the bench and showed them his dislodged tooth. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. But, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into that because you do that when you're hurt anyway, right? Like, all right, guys, check this out. You know. I mean, and in fairness, the two guys who led the meeting calling him out are no longer with the team. So I wouldn't be too worried about Love's place on the roster and him needing to prove that he's tough. I think the team's been plenty supportive of him, especially given his Players Tribune post on his anxiety attacks he's had. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that one.
Oh, fair enough. Just poking some fun at you. Ali, Rajon Rondo is still questionable with that wrist injury. The Pelicans are 0-3 in the past 2 weeks without him. And I think there's something like 7-10. I did the statistics right before this without him for the entire season, 36-22 without him. Do you think he'll go tonight? And how important do you think it is to have him out there?
Yeah, it's a toss-up. I want to say, though, that I feel like last time we did talk to him, which was like three or four days ago, it did seem like there was a good chance that he might be able to return for tonight. But again, yesterday we didn't even see him in practice, so we weren't sure if he was even wearing his wrist brace, if he even practiced. You know, nobody really talked about it. It was more like Anthony Davis was there shooting around with Ian Clark, and on the other end we were watching Nikola Mirotic just shooting three after three. And you know what? Some of them were going in, so that's the good news. But, yeah, Preston, he's very important. As we know, the Pelicans seem to struggle when they don't play games with a lot of pace. And, you know, then they have trouble, you know, finding their points. And when they don't get to 110 points, more times than not, they lose. So Rondo's very important. Ever since DeMarcus Cousins has gone down, seems like the only playmaker left on the team is Jrue Holiday. And that's just simply too much on his shoulders. He can't be asked to do that the entire game and then also guard the opponent's best defender. So hopefully Rondo can return, because otherwise I don't really feel too good about the Pelicans' chances.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a precursor to what we're going to get to later. I didn't know you were going to go with that direction. But before we do get to this matchup, briefly tell us a bit about the Alexa Ajinsa announced surgery. 4 to 6 months, I think, is his timetable now. What do you think the future holds with him, Ali?
Ooh, I don't know. Isn't it? It's crazy that we saw him in training camp. Practicing with the team. Then during that last week, he was shut down. Then a little bit later, we learned that he had a couple injections into his knees, and that was followed by some time on a shelf. And there was that surgery in, I think it was December or January. So you figured that he was on the mend, but then you hear this news. So did he have a setback? Nobody's revealed anything other than the fact that, yeah, it doesn't look good for the rest of his career, to be honest with you. It almost reminds you of the Quincy Pondexter incident where he started following up knee surgery after knee surgery before getting back on the court. He's got one more year left on his contract, and you've got to expect that the Pelicans, just like they were before all these surgeries hit, I'm sure we're looking this to move him, trade him, because he simply doesn't fit on the roster, and he's just taking up a very precious space on the salary cap sheet. So I think we've definitely seen him probably play his last days or his last day here in the Pelicans uniform. Other than that, I just wish him well. Hopefully he heals quickly and he's able to get back out on the court, but I don't think it'll be for the Pelicans.
Definitely, that's the most important aspect of the story. We wish him the best going forward and also wish the Pelicans the best on their cap sheets. Let's get to the most exciting aspect of this matchup, I should say. The win-loss part of the story is the most important. But in terms of, I don't know, celebrity or national storylines, it's LeBron versus Anthony Davis, two viable MVP candidates. You'd have to think they're both going to finish in the top five. And LeBron has had some interesting quotes in the past week. He claims that he was the MVP, and if he had a vote, he would vote for himself. Here's a direct quote. I've said it. Obviously, I've had some unbelievable seasons before, he said very humbly, but I've said it. This is the best I can go just from a complete basketball player standpoint. And before I hand this over to you, Carter, here are his numbers. 27.6, 8.6, 9.1 on 54.7% shooting, 36.5 from three on 5 threes per game. I don't know if that's a career high, but it's a lot of shots in terms of LeBron James launching from deep that I know of. He's 59.4% effective, 28.8 PER, and 12.9 win shares against James Harden, who is 30.7, 5.4, 8.7 on 44.8. 36.7 from three, 30 PER, 14.4 win shares. Carter, why is LeBron James being overlooked as the MVP this season?
Because he spent an entire month sandbagging his own team's success because he was unhappy about the roster. So, would probably be my answer. I mean, also, he's being overlooked because James Harden's the MVP. I don't know. You know, it's funny, like, I do think it's a silly impulse to be like, what an idiot. This guy putting up 27, 9, and 8 thinks he's the the MVP. Like, even if you're pretty sure James Harden is the MVP, like, you really can't hold that against the player for thinking that about himself when he's putting up those crazy numbers. But honestly, it's just the Cavs haven't had the team success. They're probably not going to get 50 wins this year. The Rockets are the best team in the league. James Harden's stats are better. LeBron has been actively harmful on the Cavs' defensive end of the ball all season. I think he's been more indifferent than ever on that end, with just a little bit of physical slippage on that end where he can't make up for his own mistakes as much as he used to. And, you know, I just don't think he's going to win it, you know? Don't have the January and February the Cavs had if you want to. If you want to win MVP, you can't let that happen. You can't have the body language he had. So I don't know. You know, it's not something I traditionally get very worked up over, but in this instance, he's just not. You know, like, I don't know what else to say about it. It's got to be Harden.
Just a quick debate, Ollie. I was looking at the numbers. Obviously, Anthony Davis stacks up well against these guys. 28.3, 11.3, 2.3, 53.9, 34% from three, 55.9 effective, 29.1 PER, 12.5 win shares. Of course, he's also one of the league leaders in blocks right now. And James Harden has a lot of weapons around him, defensive and offensive, and Clint Capella, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Luke Mbah-Mute, sixth man of the year, Eric Gordon, whatever your opinion is on him. He's not carried to, or he's not asked to carry much of a load defensively in the way that LeBron James is forced to play free safety and Anthony Davis is forced to rim protect. Do you think the most valuable player award needs to be renamed most valuable offensive player?
Absolutely. And you got to add to the fact that you got to be on the best team in the league. That's where usually most of the time the MVP comes from, the team that finishes with the best record or in the top two or three. So, yeah, Preston, it's an award that is definitely biased towards certain tendencies. And you're absolutely right. Offense is the biggest one. James Harden has had a stellar year, no doubt. But you've just got to think that the game is played on two sides of the floor. And so he's been stellar on, you know, for 50% of the time. What about the other 50%? So savvy followers of the game don't care for that too much. It's just a traditional award that I feel like needs to be changed a little bit, because let's face it, what does MVP really mean? You're right. When you look at the words, you would think it's honestly the most valuable player. And so what does that entail when a guy's out there, no matter what end of the floor, whatever he's doing? So I don't know. I mean, I could stir up a nice debate here and just really argue about Anthony Davis to death. Just look at what he does. You mentioned the blocking, or the shots blocked at the rim and the rim protection, but he does so much more. If you look at his like hustle statistics, these I feel like are one of the best when you're measuring defense. And because let's face it, a basket's going to be either or a shot attempt's either going in or it's going to miss. And so how do you push that number down? How do you dissuade a team from scoring points? And that is by deflections. That's by hustling after balls, getting loose balls, taking charges. And you know what? Anthony Davis ranks right up there. He contests more shots pretty much than anybody else in the league, comes up with more deflections and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, there's a great case to be made that Anthony Davis should be right up there and even probably ahead of James Harden. And I can understand Carr's argument for LeBron James. I mean, he's really been sensational. Even though he's not given too much credit for his defense, the fact he does play that free safety, he plays like a guy who is just in like a quarterback on one end and then the safety on the other. As to where Harden, I mean, he takes.
But he's not the safety that you want in your backfield this season.
Yeah, he has slowed down, but I guarantee you, we're going to see that guy show up in the playoffs, huh?
Sure, I mean maybe, you know, but like I don't know, I don't think there's any world in which LeBron James has been a noticeably better defender than James Harden this season.
All right, I was looking at some of his statistics. He's got the best numbers as far as steals and blocks go since, I want to say, the 2012-13 season with the Miami Heat. But he has been beat on some of those pick and rolls, some play designs around him. He's been playing a lot of zone defense, not that lock up man that that I watched him play against Derrick Rose, I want to say, in like the 2011 playoffs when he locked him up so effectively. Let's finally get to the game. The Cavaliers have so many storylines, just like the Pelicans have been a national media Cinderella, I guess, all year long with all the stories they've had thrown around. And Cleveland might have just a couple more with all the quotes we've been getting from LeBron James, shut up and dribble, all the trades, just a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, but we're going to let it run off with us if we don't get to the game. So 45-30, just half a game ahead of the 76ers and the Pacers. You guys are currently slated in the three seed, but a loss tonight could bring you back to the middle of the pack and potentially not even hosting a first round series. You've won 6 of 7, including against the Raptors, 132-129. That was a really exciting one. And then the other wins just against the Bulls, the Suns, the Nets, the Hornets, the Bucks. Nothing really to write home about, but you guys are 25-11 in the Quicken Loans Arena. Explain for me, Carter, why the Cavaliers are still the best team in the East right now.
You know, I just think it all comes down to a fully engaged LeBron, right? It's not a very sexy answer, but it's LeBron. LeBron is so much better than any other player in the East. It's like, and Giannis kind of comes close, maybe Embiid kind of comes close, but are you really ready to roll with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan just yet? It's just one of those things where I just feel like you have to wait and see it. And there's, you know, there's good cases to be made for why the Raptors are better and could win a playoff series. And I don't think anyone who thinks they could win are dumb or anything, but on my personal level, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to pick against them. Until we see otherwise, they've got, it's a pretty LeBron focused team. They're built to litter the court with shooters while he just plays chess in the pick and roll, and teams haven't really figured out how to stop that yet. So as long as they're healthy, and they might not ever get healthy. I mean, it's been a pretty brutal year for them in that capacity. As long as they're healthy, I don't see an outcome where they don't win the East. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
Ollie, you tipped your hat a little bit earlier in regards to this matchup, but they won't have Kevin Love. The Cavaliers have not been the same team without him. With that being said, they do have a quick pace. They like to score. They like to shoot three-pointers. Did we just lose Ollie? Yes, we did just lose Ollie, so we're with Carter. All right, so we're going to keep this with Carter. I was just talking about the pace. The Cavs like to push it. They like to score. They're fifth in offensive rating at 112.7. Defensive rating, they're 29th at 112. So this one is probably going to be a high-scoring affair. One of the other storylines is that LeBron has scored double digits and now 866 straight games. I think that ties him with Michael Jordan. Ollie, are you back with us, sir?
Yeah, I got dropped. I don't know what happened.
Hashtag energy, right?
Happy to have you back.
So, Ollie, I was just saying that you tipped your hat a little bit in regards to this one. Again, Kevin Love probably not playing, and that makes the Cavaliers a different team. With that being said, every game from here on out is a playoff atmosphere. The Cavs need this one. The Pelicans need this one. They're in Quicken's Loans Arena, where the Cavs are very good this season, 25-11. If the Pelicans can manage to win this one, that makes them one of the elite squads in the National Basketball Association. You'd have to think being able to take down LeBron under these circumstances. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Preston. They've had some impressive wins since DeMarcus Cousins has gone down, but recently they've been losing some of these closer battles, as we witnessed against the Portland Trailblazers. So they need to go ahead and win a couple of these, because pretty much remaining on the schedule is a lot of playoff type of games. Outside of the Grizzlies and the Suns, I think everybody else Pelicans face has a win record. So they've got to start winning some of these, you know, better opponent type of games. And tonight would be a good place to start, because the Pelicans have lost the last three in Cleveland. And really the last two times their offense has really just not shown up, where they've shot under 40% both of those losses. So that's why Rajon Rondo is going to be such a key, Preston. And that's why I feel like if he can go, I really, you know, almost give the Pelicans a nod. But if he doesn't, wow, it's going to be hard to pick them.
All right, and the Cavaliers are famous for being a big three-point shooting team this year. I think they're fifth in attempts, somewhere around third in makes at 36.9. They shoot very well from the field, and they use players like George Hill, Rodney Hood to do so. Tell us a bit about some of your newer roster players, of course, that is included with Larry Nance Jr., who's been effective guarding the rim, as well as Jordan Clarkson. And now J.R. Smith is coming off the bench. How are these guys looking with the Cavaliers there, Carter?
You know, it's kind of in fits and starts, and I think a big part of the lack of consistency is because of all the roster upheaval. I mean, Rodney Hood's been dealing with a bad back. Larry Nance's been dealing with a bad hammy. George Hill was going through a bit of a shooting slump at the start of the year. Jordan Clarkson's been one of the more consistent guys. It's kind of as an instant offense off the bench, and you kind of – with Clarkson, you kind of know if he's got it right away, and if he doesn't got it, he ain't going to get it. But when he's on, he's really quite an electric scorer. Hill, you know, has really done wonders for their point guard defense, playing really, really, I mean, probably their best point guard defender in the last 10 years, which isn't saying much, but between Mo Williams and Kyrie Irving, he's quite the upgrade. Starting to find his way. He's probably the biggest beneficiary of Kevin Love's return. He is so much more comfortable as that tertiary or fourth creator in the offense. When he's kind of asked to attack an already stable defense, he has a hard time destabilizing it and finishing at the rim. But when he's kind of reacting to an already shaken defense, he's really able to do some good stuff. Nance has been great, but it's been a little mediocre since he's come back from the hammy injury. Wondering if he's not yet 100%. It hasn't been quite as explosive, lunging a little bit more and fouling as opposed to moving his feet defensively. Wonder if he's still working his way back. And then Hood, you don't really know what you're getting. I think he's had a hard time adjusting to the Cavs' more open, reactive offense. He's spent his whole career with Quinn Snyder, a guy who runs a very, very to-the-T system where you have a set of prescribed motions and that's all you do. Whereas Tyronn Lue's system, you freelance a little bit. You attack mismatches, things like that. So he's still kind of finding his way, but I do think he will be able to down the line. But just as of now, it's just going to take a little bit.
All right, I've got the three-point numbers in front of me now. 32.3 taken, that's fifth. 11.9 made, that's third. Let's talk a bit about defense. Obviously, we used to refer to George Hill as kind of like a George Hill and Mike Conley, I should say, as a rich man's Jrue Holiday. This year, the script has flipped on that, so to speak, with Jrue Holiday having such a sensational year. With that being said, Ollie, it looks like he's going to have a difficult time finding somebody to lock down on the Cavaliers roster, being that George Hill hasn't played particularly well. Rodney Hood is extremely shaky. The one guy in the starting lineup who is bound to score a lot of points is LeBron James, and that's where the Pelicans have struggled this season to play a lot of good defense with Etuan Moore getting a lot of those minutes. Is this going to be a matchup where we're going to see Solomon Hill start?
Well, that's a great question. That's something that Alvin Gentry didn't really want to tip his cap to yesterday, but you're right. Out of everybody that's on the Pelicans roster, who is best equipped to handle LeBron? It's Solomon Hill, because he's got the size, he's got kind of the length that you need to at least try and pose a, you know, kind of a little, I don't know, obstacle, I guess you want to call it, to LeBron, because I don't think LeBron's truly got any obstacles. He's been just putting up insane numbers this March. What is he? He's like a 31-10-10, shooting great numbers. And as you mentioned, Preston, he's even now launching a three ball. So I think anybody you throw out there is going to be at the whim of how this LeBron James does. He's either going to be on or he's going to be off. But that said, Alvin Gentry really made a point of it's just going to be a team effort. And he's absolutely right. One guy can't stop, you know, the king. So it's going to take everybody focusing in on him, giving help when necessary. But it'll be interesting to see who starts on him, because right off the bat, either Jrue Holiday or Etuan Moore, you know, they're going to be a significant disadvantage. So you roll with Solomon Hill, and then you've got maybe throw some Darius Miller on there, but you're obviously going to send a lot of help. I mean, that's going to be the key of the game, really.
Yeah, they're going to need an increased workload from him for sure. Even if he does come off the bench, it'll have to be early. Just to take a look at some of his numbers that you were referring to, LeBron James is averaging a triple-double in the months of February and March. In February, 27, 11, and 11. In March, 31, 10, and 9.4. So for all the talk we've had about Anthony Davis, LeBron James has been spectacular in the last 2 months. It looks like he's playing his very best basketball right now. And that's something that's just going to continue in this contest. And I don't know that anybody's going to be able to slow him down. We're just going to have to minimize everybody else. Let's talk briefly before we wrap this up. There was some late-breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski announced that Ty Lue was going to be in the arena today. He didn't mention him being on the bench. He just mentioned him observing. Of course, Larry Drew has been the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the immediacy. He was unbeaten until that loss against the Heat whenever Kevin Love was removed with that tooth injury. And the Pelicans, in kind of a feel-good story, have just signed Larry Drew II, his son, to his second 10-day contract. Tell us a little bit about Larry Drew and how he's been doing with Cleveland, Carter.
Larry Drew is kind of who he is at this point. I mean, he's kind of like the world's interim coach. I don't know if he's ever going to get his coaching job again, but, you know, he's done an okay job in the interim. One thing that I've been pretty disappointed with is he's just trotting out a different starting lineup every night. And to some extent, that's been health problems. But then there's just stuff that's just like happening willy-nilly. Like they started Tristan Thompson in their last game for no real reason when they had been starting Larry Nance prior to his hamstring injury. But they also had been starting Kevin Love. They're insisting on starting Jeff Green. It's just kind of confusing. You can't really tell how much it's true and how much of that information being passed down by Lou, but it's been a little weird and shaky, and it makes it hard for them to find a rhythm. So, you know, I'll be happy to see Tyronn Lue back in the coach's chair, but obviously his health should be priority number one.
Ollie, do you think having Ty Lue on the bench could provide some kind of distraction where you've got the head coach just observing while the interim head coach is directing, or do you think this is just going to be business as usual for the Cavs?
I think it's going to be business as usual because the sun rotates around LeBron James and Cleveland, Preston. I thought you knew that, buddy. No, honestly, though, that team, it's full of veterans. I know they've got some younger guys and stuff, but honestly, LeBron James sets the tone. Players set the tone in the league. Coaches can only normally, they just kind of provide, you know, some input from kind of the periphery, I want to say, because they're never in the center of, you know, of a team as to where – you know, it provides that momentum, that drive, that focus. It all comes from the players individually, I feel like. And when you've got superstars, it gravitates to them even more so. So, no, Press, I don't think anything to do with what's going to happen on the sidelines and where a coach sits or, you know, whatever else may happen regarding that situation is going to have any kind of effect on this game.
All right, I definitely have a rotation question for you, Ollie. But before we do that, Carter, let's wrap up with you. Let's get your prediction. This is a must-win for both squads. It's going to be a heated one. It's probably going to come down to the final 2 minutes yet again, which we as Pelicans fans are very well used to at this point. What do you think transpires tonight?
First off, Cavs don't have must-wins till June. I think that the Cavs are playing pretty well, but they're also famously kind of terrible at the end of tough schedule stretches, and this would be their third game in 4 nights. Kevin Love still probably won't play, even though he is questionable. I'll say Pels win a strong 114-109.
All right, we should call this one a really want win, because even if the Pelicans should manage to drop this one and win the next six, they'll be in perfect footing and possibly get a 4 or 5 seed out of it. But I'll say it's an important win because every game matters with just 7 left to go. Ollie, let's get over to you. Before we get your prediction, I had a couple of notes for Alvin Gentry against the Trailblazers in terms of what he chose to do rotation-wise, just the minutes he allocated to Emeka Okafor, Cheick Diallo, Nikola Mirotic. How do you think he rotates those guys in this one? Obviously, pretty much every player on the Cavaliers roster is going to get even a few minutes. Typically, Larry Drew is playing up to 11 guys, and if they are in their third game in 4 nights, the entirety of their bench is going to get unloaded onto the floor, you would think, against the Pelicans. Who do you think gets those minutes tonight for the Pelicans, and what do you think the final outcome will be?
Okay, sure. I'll start with the final outcome. I think, like I said, it all comes down to Rondo. So let's just say if Rondo does play, I think the Pelicans will hit right about the 120-point mark. And then you'll see the Cavaliers, you know, in the rear window at about 110. But if Rondo doesn't play, expect a game. I feel like the point total will be somewhere much closer, just right around 100, 105 maybe, with a loss. So as far as the rotations, yeah, I mean, what we've seen so far this year is what you got to expect. So with Emeka Okafor, for instance, he's going to hover right around that 20-minute mark. And since the Cavaliers don't have this big bruising center that, you know, requires a lot of attention, I expect his minutes to fall just south of 20. So he'll probably start the game and probably start that third quarter. But other than that, you won't see much of him. And so it's going to come down to Mirotić and Diallo, and who's going to be playing better is really, I think, what it's going to entail. Mirotić has been averaging more minutes on the road this year. I think he's around 31, but the reason for that is because he's been playing a lot better on the road, where his shot is going down. He's having more of a positive effect out there. At home, he's really struggled. Preston, I don't think we need to tell our guys, our listeners, any more about it, because it's obvious. The guy can't make a three. He's shooting right around 20% mark for like the last 10 games. And his field goal percentage isn't much better. His shot selection is way off. His defense isn't as strong as it was when he started. So it's hard to give the guy minutes when he's honestly not contributing anything out there. And as for Sheik Diallo, he's had his moments and he's been wonderful. But I feel like game, he struggled a little. You know, I rewatched some of those minutes in the fourth quarter where the Pelicans, you know, needed to do anything and everything to try and stem the tide, which was led by Damian Lillard. But they weren't, you know, Diallo was not that guy. He was missing assignments. He was late getting to his man, and he wasn't helping on the rebounding department. And that was by far our biggest downfall, giving the Trailblazers second chance points. So if Diallo can turn that around, or Mirotić can play strongly, then yeah, they'll play a lot of minutes and they'll be right there with Anthony Davis in terms of rotations. But if both of those guys struggle again, you've got to think Anthony Davis is going to play around 40 minutes, because the Pelicans are going to treat this like a must win. As you've mentioned, there's so much riding on life. If they win and the Thunder lose tonight, they'll be in fourth. But if they lose and a few other teams win, then they're going to be in eighth. So there's a lot riding on the game.
And LeBron James is top two in minutes played right now. You'd have to think that Anthony Davis is probably going to mirror his time in the court. So one or both of those guys are going to be right around 40 minutes for this one. All right, let's wrap this up here. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is the Bird Calls with Ali Cosell and Carter Rodriguez of Fear the Sword, the news editor. You can follow him at Carter_Shade. Of course, he is also the podcast host to Chase Down Cleveland. Carter, are you going to be live tweeting during this one? And tell our listeners a bit about where they can find some of your material.
You can find my writing at fearthesword.com. You can find our podcast at Chase Down Pod. Please subscribe and give that podcast a listen. Justin and I have a great time. And I'll probably be live tweeting a bit. I also have to work tonight, so I'll be tweeting through putting together my show for my day job, so to speak. But it should be fun.
Very nice. It's unfortunate that we all have to work actual real jobs. Ali, tonight, you're probably going to be watching this one as well and live tweeting, I would have to assume. Tell our listeners a bit about what you've got going on today.
Yeah, no, that's going to be everything focused on the game, because I've also got the recap duty. So, yeah, that's where all my focus is going to be today. I was hoping to get a couple more articles done, because, you know, I've had in the queue, but I've had other things come up, so it hasn't quite worked out yet for me in terms of getting them posted.
You said duties. If you have a second, you guys, find us on iTunes and give us a quick rating. It only takes 30 seconds for you guys. But for us, it's the difference between, you know, doing this for free and making a couple of bucks for beer money. Right, Ollie?
That's right, man. I need it. It's been a stressful month and a half.
Yeah, it sure has. So take a second, you guys, and buy us a beer, won't you? Hopefully I'm planning on coming to New Orleans once we, fingers crossed, get to the playoffs, and I'll attend a game with these knuckleheads, Kevin and Ali. Tonight I'll be covering the Magic from the Amway Center in what is going to be a thrilling affair with the Chicago Bulls. So you can follow me on Twitter if you want any updates on that. God rest your soul if you do. I'm your host, Preston Ells. We'll talk to you guys soon. Let's go, Bells. You have been listening to The Bird Calls. Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, do us one more favor. Go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate our podcast today.